Well, if you go to the, if someone from outer space came to Earth and went to the Oscars, what would he think they were all about? I think he would think that they were about clothing. What people wear. Who designed it, what it looks like, how much it costs. Now, we really don't associate the gospel or Christianity with Hollywood, and yet I wonder if they don't have something to teach us, that Paul is teaching us in Colossians that actually Christianity is all about what we wear. All about what we wear, and it has everything to do with the witness that we make in the world. Let's take a look at Colossians and see if that's true. By way of background, remember that we're in one of those moments in Paul's writings where he says, since then, or therefore, or if, and it's always a turning point. And it's usually a turning point from theology to ethics or morality. He's laid out what the gospel is and the kind of life that it's meant to offer to us. And then he says, therefore, if you've been redeemed, then this is the kind of life that's going to follow. And that's really unusual. Think about the time in which Paul was writing. Lots of pagans worshiped gods, many gods. The interesting thing about those gods is they didn't have any expectations of their followers or their adherents. Mostly people prayed to them to placate them or in hopes that they might do something for them or prevent their wrath from being thrust upon them. But it wasn't about being shaped morally into the kind of people that God intended them to be. And that's precisely what's different about Christianity when Paul writes, is that it is about God, and it's about worshiping God, and it's about being redeemed in God, this grace, this gift that's given to us, and yet it leads to a certain kind of life. It has a moral to it. A moral to the story. There's an ethic to be followed. There's an obedient life to be lived. And Paul is calling us to it. And that's what's different about Christianity and all the pagan religions that existed at the time. So he was really out there on the cutting edge. The if statement, the therefore statement would have been unusual, especially to Gentiles, especially to pagans. So what do we hear him say? Since then, you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. What is it that Paul is saying there? He's talking about this new life. This is the life that's meant to be lived. How is it hidden? It's kind of a peculiar statement to say that it's hidden in Christ. And precisely what Paul is saying is that it's animated by something else. For the pagans live by their code and their gods, which don't require anything of them, but Christians are living according to an allegiance that's in heaven. And so it's from there that our morals come. It's from there that our values come. And so that life is hidden to the rest of the world. They can't see it. They go, why do you do that? Why do you live that way? They can't see why it is that we live that way because it's hidden in Christ. That is, they don't know Christ, don't profess faith in Christ, in this God. And so it's hidden in that way. But he's reminding the Christians, because of this new life, therefore, since you've been raised with Christ, then this is the kind of life that follows. And it's about setting your mind on things heavenly, things above, because that's where we're going to get our values from. And so he says in verse 5, put to death. Strong words. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Put to death all of these things which are mostly sensual pleasures. And yet it ends with greed. And we could actually hear the theme through the lessons, couldn't we? In hearing from, even in the psalm and then in the gospel, that greed, this insatiable appetite to acquire more can't be satisfied in the average human being. But it is something that's meant to be satisfied for us in Christ. So it's so odd that he would end the list with that, but it's a thing more common to man than some of those other sinful sexual desires, if you will. Because of these, those kinds of things, the wrath of God is coming. They produce wrath. They produce judgment. alienation from God. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Think about that. This is an affirmation that they lived that kind of life because that's what was expected of them or not expected of them. There were no standards from the gods that they worshipped as to their morality, their ethic. And so that's what people did. They weren't bound by anything in that regard. But that is their old life, he's going to tell us. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. The NIV doesn't quite capture what Paul's saying there, but it has everything to do with clothing. He's talking about stripping ourselves of that which we wear in an old life and then putting on clothing ourselves would be the translation with this new thing that we are supposed to wear. So it might be read in this way: do not lie to each other, since you have taken off or stripped off your old clothes with its practices and clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in the image of its creator. Which is one of those drums that I beat all the time, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 3, that we're being transformed into the likeness of Christ. We're being renewed in that way. Just a quick aside that, you know, there's something about Christianity that can be kind of summed up in three ways. Three words: formed, deformed, transformed. That is, we were formed in the image of God when we were made. Sin deforms us, takes away that image or wrecks that image that was in which we were formed. And in Christ, we're being transformed into something new. But let me get back to clothing. So Paul says that we're supposed to strip something off and put something else on. And so it has everything to do with what we wear. But of course, it's not as shallow as clothing. It has everything to do with the ethic that we put on and the ethic that we strip off. And so what kind of ethic is it? Well, clearly, it's related to the psalm that we heard in Psalm 49. It's related to the gospel passages that we heard in Luke 13 about greed, about something that we as Americans probably know better than any other nation in the world. And it's not because we are greedy, probably even in our own minds, but we've lived in a world that is defined by how much we amass, how much we accrue to ourselves, how much we can gather. What's the famous saying in the States? He who dies with the most toys wins. But what Paul is pointing out is, or what Jesus is pointing out as he speaks in Luke 13, is that what does it mean to accrue all kinds of things to yourself and then be called to account for your life that night? You can't really take it with you. I mean, there are no U-Hauls behind hearses. You know, that's just the way it is. When we're done, we're done. So that kind of life is meant to be given up and another kind of life put on. There's one of the examples he gives is of anger. Sometimes we're resentful and unforgiving, and while we may be justified in having been hurt, sometimes we let anger control our lives and we live that out in front of other people, and we actually hold other people at bay. We keep them away from us by our anger because they don't want to be around someone angry, and so we just act angry and we don't want to interact with other people. So we knowingly, probably unknowingly, keep other people at bay with our anger. But anger is something that has to go. The scriptures are clear about that. We have to be people who forgive, and if we actually forgive, there won't be any anger left. And so there's this old way of life that we have to strip off and this new way of life that we're meant to put on. But here's my theory about clothing, and going back to why it's so important what we wear. It's because we actually, at times, don't like to take off our old clothes and put on new clothes. Right? How many of you own clothing that's 5 years or older? 10 years or older? 15 years or older? I got my hand up. Yeah, I was actually doing yard work yesterday and today, and I was wearing a shirt that was an Izod and from Lacoste. Now, I don't know when they were last together, but they're not, they're separate companies now. I think the shirt must be 20, 25 years old. Hard to give things up. I've got shirts at the beach that I won't give up. And they're like, they're white shirts, and they're so pitted from perspiration. I mean, stained from perspiration, that they're unbelievable. But I won't give them up because they're great shirts. Here's one of my best. I threw this shirt away about 8 years ago. Yet I'm holding it in my hand. Dug it back out of the trash. A friend of mine brought it back from the Virgin Islands. And I ran for it as I prepared for a marathon. Well, it stunk. And no matter how often Kristen washed it, it stunk. You ever had a towel like that, that every time you get it out of the dryer, it still smells sour, even though you've just washed it? Or if you use it one time, it smells sour again? That's what the shirt was like. Now, when I talked about this, we got tons of tips on how to get that smell to go away. But it doesn't really. But here's the testimony to how hard it is to give things up. I pulled it out of the trash. Still have it to this day. All y'all are going, man, that John, he's weird. Now, as much as we don't like to put on new things, give up old things, sometimes we don't like to put on new things. I got this shirt for Christmas years ago from my parents. And it's a great shirt. I've never worn it. It's been in my closet on a hanger. Why? Well, it's got this big image on it, and that kind of like just doesn't go with my style. And it's black. I have to wear black for work, so I don't wear black, you know, other times. Never put it on. Tried it on one time, never been outside in it. So, stripping something off and putting something else on might bump up against our nature. Now, I'm not saying that what's true of me is true of you, but all of you held up your hands and said that you had some clothes that were pretty old. How many of you have clothes that actually should be thrown out? Yeah. Any of you, have, like me, have something new hanging in your closet that you've never worn? Okay, I see a couple of hands. Thank you very much. Because it's not my style. And, you know, it can be true of something as simple as anger. Like if we've lived a life of anger, if it's been one of the ways in which we've coped, that we've kept people at bay because we don't want to interact with them, then to get rid of it is a painful thing. To let it go, it's like a protective mechanism. But let's say we let it go, what are we going to replace it with? Joy, forgiveness, other things. And those might be so unusual to us because we've lived in our anger so long that we can't embrace those and we don't want to put them on. I think that's why Paul is reminding us that it has everything to do with what we wear. But in this case, the clothing is our morality. And we have to give up the old way of life, the way of life that's rooted in the world and the way it operates, for something much better, much greater, the values from which that come from heaven, an allegiance to the King, and put that kind of thing on. And it's not always easy, and we have to be reminded of it. And therefore, Paul's reminding the Colossians, yes, you've been redeemed in Christ Jesus, but that's not the end of the story. I've saved you. Now I'm going to sanctify you. I've restored you to right relationship with God. Now I'm going to help you live the life that will keep you in that right relationship. And we have to be reminded of what that is, that we have to strip off old clothes. And we might be reluctant to do it. And we have to put on new clothes. And we might be reluctant to do that as well. But here's the good news. It's Christ transforming us. Yes, we participate. We strip off. We put on. But He's the equipper of the stripping and the clothing. God's not asking us to do something that we can't do. Actually, He is, and then He's providing the means by which to do it. It's through the grace of God. It's through being loved. It's being transformed into that likeness. And we come to a place where our lives are so totally transformed that we don't experience people being different. I mean, no Jew, no Gentile, no barbarian, no Scythian, no free, no slave, no male, no female, he says elsewhere. That's how transformed our lives become when we take off the old thing and put on the new thing, as we see people for who they are, created in the image of God, being restored to the image of God in Christ Jesus. So let us be people who are willing to take off the old clothes, toss them when we need to, and put on the right things, the things that make us like God. Amen.